Hello, fearless fam. Welcome to another episode where we shed light on topics most likely to keep in the dark. This is your host, Chubby, and today's level elephant is a level 5. The next topic is really hard for me to talk about without any tears. I thought long about this, how I was going to share it, but we're going to be talking about fresh water. But what about it exactly? Well, before we begin, how is everyone doing? Yes, you haven't seen my face in a while, but here I am. Hope you're safe and healthy. Just wanted to let you guys know that episode 21 will be my last episode of the year. No Filters, No Fears will be taking a 3-week break. Yeah, 3-week vacation. We will be back on the 9th, January 9th, fresh, recharged, and hey, ready to start again with what's going on, because as you all know, what is happening this year, it is definitely overflowing to the next year. It's not like it's just stopped because it's a new year. Unfortunately, I wish. But yes, I'm not sure if you're all aware, but I am part of the Climate Initiative, meaning we fight for climate change and bring awareness to those that live in their bubbles, right? And I say this because we learn a lot about our planet and things that many people do not understand, what it takes to do for certain things to be made into this world, right? The consumer is growing, the demand is high. And this is what the episode is about, how we use fresh water and just water in general. Please know that I've been doing this research for the last year. I stayed on top of these things, being part of the climate initiative. We learn all the things climate change related. Our resources will be noted, just in case you all want to do your own research. But let's get into it. It's going to be a very lengthy episode in terms of sharing the facts or the knowledge or the ways you could help. But here we go. Fresh water is 2.5 to 3% of Earth's water, the amount needed to survive. Source, USGS.gov. Exactly what about fresh water I want to talk about? Well, let's break it down. Let's think about what this is actually used for, right? Let's start there. Something common that most of us may not know. So 70% of the water is for agricultural purposes, 20% is the industry, and the 10% is domestic household use, meaning you and I, normal people. So it takes 24,000 liters to make chocolate, 21,000 liters to coffee beans, 15,500 liters for beef, and 8,800 for sheep and goat meat, and 6,000 for pig meat, 1,600 liters for cereals, and 1,000 for fruits, and 300 liters for vegetables. And this is why they say if you go vegan or reduce the meat consumption, you're actually helping the planet, because in turn, there's less water being used. So consumer products, let's say car, 67,500 liters, leather shoes, 13,700, smartphones, 12,100, cotton bed sheets or cotton t-shirts. So the cotton bed sheets is 10,700 liters and the cotton t-shirt is 2,500 liters. And to make jeans, it's 8,000 liters. This is why when you buy a jean that is well made and it is not fast fashion, they last longer, meaning you don't have to keep buying more jeans unless you're into the trends of like every season you have to get new clothes. Then that's where the factor where the problem lies, right? But guess what? We're running out of it. 1.4 billion people already live in areas that are simply running out of water, and poor people are those suffering the most. All the information by theworldcounts.com and supported by Professor Benjamin Sovacol, Aarhus University, Denmark. The problem is that the human population is increasing, and there will not be enough resources if we continue this way, right? Honestly, people think that this earth is not getting depleted by the actions we're taking, directly or indirectly. We're still part of the problem, and if we do not come together to try to leave a future for the next generation, honestly, there is not a future to look forward to. But there are ways, as the consumer, you can help to reduce water waste. There's going to be a lengthy list, like I mentioned before. But before I share this list, I want to let you know that I know this has been a really tough year for everyone, but I encourage you to please do your research and see what ways that you can also contribute to reducing water waste that is attainable for you. Trying is the first step. I am not trying to alarm anyone, but just bring the truth forward. Because yes, while there are multiple things happening all at once, at the end, it will not matter if we do not have fresh water to drink. So with that being said, I am going to share the list with you all, and I hope you keep an open mind. I know we are so used to having all the privileges and all the, oh my God, I can't live without this, or, you know, certain things that you're like, I need to do it this way in order to live, even though there's a better way, again, that you could contribute that helps the planet. Let's start at the bathroom. Use toilet as a waste basket, meaning do not throw stuff in there. You know, paper, toilet, actually anything. It's just for, you know, the necessities. Do not let the water run while shaving or brushing your teeth. Take short showers instead of tub baths. Turn off the water flow while soaping or shampooing. If you must use a tub, close the drain before turning on the water and fill the tub only half full. Bathe small children together. Never pour water down the drain when there may be another use for it, such as watering a plant or garden. And if you're in the kitchen, you could pour the water in your cup that you don't want to drink into your pet's bowl or again into a plant. Let's continue with the kitchen and laundry. Keep drinking water in the refrigerator instead of letting the faucet run until the water is cool. Wash fruits and vegetables in a basin using a vegetable brush. Do not use water to defrost frozen foods. Thaw in the refrigerator overnight. I know most of us have been guilty of that. Use a dish pan for washing and rinsing dishes. Scrape rather than rinse dishes before loading them into the dishwasher. And there is and dishwashers actually reduces the waste of water. So they claim to be a good source, like if you prefer to do that. I prefer not to. I actually just like, you know, using this method to just wash the dishes. Operate the dishwasher only when completely full, meaning do not just store 2 to 3 dishes and just put, right? Add food waste to your compost pile instead of using the garbage disposal, if you have one, of course. Use the appropriate water level or load size selection on the washing machine. Right, if you own one, if you have one, do that. Now let's talk about outside. Sweep driveways, sidewalks, and steps rather than hosing off. Wash the car with water from a bucket or consider using a commercial car wash that recycles water. When using a hose, control the flow with an automatic shut-off nozzle. Avoid purchasing recreational water toys that require a constant stream of water. If you have a swimming pool, consider a new water-saving pool filter. Lower pool water level to reduce amount of water splash out. Use a pool cover to reduce evaporation when pool is not being used. Now, let's go with equipment. Repair all leaks. A leaky toilet can waste 200 gallons per day. To detect leaks in the toilet, add food coloring to the tank water. If the color water appears in the bowl, the toilet is leaking. Toilet repair advice is available at www.toiletology.com/index. I will put that link in the description. Use ultra low flow toilets or place a plastic container filled with water or gravel in the tank of your conventional toilet. Be sure it does not interfere with operational of the toilet's flush mechanism. Consider purchasing a high efficiency washing machine, which can save over 50% in water and energy use. I know, guys, this is a lot, but obviously this only applies to the people. I mean, if you have any of these, if you're planning on purchasing anything for your future, if you're, you know, moving together with a roommate, with a partner, whatever, you know, try to make your life a little bit more resourceful to reduce your water intake. I mean, you know. So now watering. So detect and repair all leaks in irrigation system. Use properly treated water, wastewater for irrigation where available. Water the lawn or garden during the coolest part of the day. Early morning is best. Do not water on windy days. Water trees and shrubs which have deep root systems, longer and less frequent than shallow rooted plants, which require a smaller amount of water more often. Check with the local extension service for advice on the amount of frequency of water needed in your area. Set sprinkler to water the lawn or garden only, not the street or sidewalk. Use soaker hose and trickle irrigation system. Install moisture sensors on sprinkle system. If you have any of this, of course. Now planting. Have your soil tested for nutrient content and add organic matter if needed. Good soil absorbs and retains water better. Minimize turf areas and use native grasses. Use native plants in your landscape. They require less care and water than ornamental varieties. So use mulch around the shrub and garden plants to reduce evaporation from the soil surface and cut down on weed growth. Remove the thatch and aerate turf to encourage movement of water to the root zone. I know this is sounding all gibberish, but if you are planning to have your own garden, these are certain tools that you could use to A, grow your own food, B, make sure you're not wasting unnecessary water. Because obviously it will be the equivalent of the water that we're using to create the fruits and things like that. I know this is a lot of information. I know this is a lot all at once, but unfortunately, the more we read into this and the more I learn about this, the sadder I get. Because right now, we are desperately needing for the human race to change. I'm going to read some facts about several topics like waste, oceans, mining, fresh water, the state of the planet, the air, forests, deserts, energy, especially global warming because it exists, the use of chemicals, polluted bodies, hunger, obesity, etc. I'm just going to read a little excerpt from all of these to share with you. And you do it with what you want with it, honestly, because I cannot force you to believe that the planet is dying. I just want to inform you. I know it is a very sad topic. It is not a good one right now, but I'm not going to hold off this topic just because it's the holidays. Again, this holiday is, the holidays are tough for everybody as it is already, you know, to have to deal with their own struggle as their human bodies and their minds that they're dealing with, to then have to deal with the external factors of the world. So I understand that. If you don't want to hear this episode right now, pause. And then when you can, listen to it. But if you don't want to, it is okay. I completely understand. But I do want to say thank you for listening as far as you've gotten now. So waste. So we're producing enormous amount of waste. Much of it is toxic. Global waste production will continue to grow into at least the year 2100, at which point we will be producing 11 million tons of trash per day, over a kilo for every single person on the planet, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. That's a lot. Oceans cover 71% of the planet and are home to 80% of life on Earth. But they are also a fragile ecosystem threatened by massive overfishing and pollution. By 2050, world oceans could contain more plastic than fish. Mining gives us the stuff we need to produce energy, houses, cars, computers, and thousands of other products during our lifetime. 1,600 tons of minerals are mined to support our way of life. That's 1.6 million kilos of mined material from the earth just for you. And the environmental effects of mining can be quite nasty. So on the topic of freshwater, the global consumer society runs on freshwater. It also runs on fossil fuels, steel, palm oil, timber, and so on. But freshwater really is the main ingredient. We use about 4.5 billion cubic meters per year. The number of consumers will grow with 1.7 billion people between 2020 and 2030. Global GDP will quadruple from 2000 to 2050. The amount of natural resources we extract from Earth will more than double in the same period. We are already overspending the planet by more than 70%. Yeah, you do the math. Every 4 seconds, someone in the world dies from air pollution, meaning it causes 8.9 million deaths each year. The UN has labeled air pollution the world's worst environmental health risk. Half of the world's rainforests were destroyed in one century. All of the world's rainforests could be wiped out by the year 2100 if the current rate of deforestation continues, and there is not much sign of the destruction slowing down. Actually, reversing the negative trends will require massive efforts on a global scale. That's how bad the damage is. So energy in a business as usual scenario, we will burn 63% more oil, coal, and gas by the year 2040 than in 2000. This will emit 55% more CO2, but there is an alternative. The sun could power the world easily, right? The energy from 80 minutes of sunlight could power Earth for a year. Okay, so global levels of CO2 emissions will continue to rise until at least 2040, like we said. They will be cause world temperature to keep going up and accelerate the melting of the ice sheets and the poles with unpredictable consequences. So the industrial toxins are found in newborn babies at the peak of Mount Everest and at the bottom of the oceans. The use of chemicals in our daily life has increased massively, and most of them have never been tested for how they affect us. That's why they say there's microplastics in our water, so be careful what we drink, right? There are more than 144,000 man-made chemicals in existence, and new synthetic chemicals are entering the market on a daily basis. An estimated 2,000 new chemicals are being released every year. Despite attempts to regulate chemical use, only 21 out of 144,000 chemicals have so far been banned by ScienceX. Again, I know that this is overwhelming and it is sad and the facts are like, whoa, but the change starts with us. I know it's cliche, but it is. If we want to see the change in the world, we got to start with us. I practice what I preach. So I use recycling, let's say paper for certain things, depending on what it is, you know, like for writing, for wrapping gifts or something like that. You know, I reuse all the paper that I have in my own home. I had the same thing for like the last 15 years, well, depending on what it is. But there are certain things that obviously need to be renewed. You know, we need to buy it again. But there are certain things that we don't. And we need to do our research to see what material we have that can actually be used for longer than the manufacturer says, or longer than whatever anybody says, in order for us to keep our reduce our carbon footprint. This episode is literally the extension of that episode to water. Our carbon footprint, we emit so much in so many ways, including driving. You know, you could always carpool if you're going to the same place, or just drop persons off if it's on your way. But we need to start somewhere. I'm going to read one more and I'm going to leave it at this, because I'm going to read some quotes to you and give you my thoughts on how I feel about what's going on. More than one in four species on Earth is threatened with extinction. That's where I'm going to leave it at. And I am going to read some quotes. Thousands have lived without love, not one without water. Save water today or tomorrow you'll pay. It costs money to waste water. The Dharma Trials. Isn't that ironic? Bright futures begin with clean water. A drop a day wastes the water away. Pollute water, you pollute life. Never waste even a drop of water. No water, no life, no blue, no green. And I leave that. So my last thought on this is the scary thing, and I'm gonna say it because it is. We have 17 years, 11 days, 11 hours, 56 minutes, and 40 something seconds until fresh water runs out. Meaning, most of us will be in our 50s and we might not even have water, fresh water to drink. Remember, some of the water on Earth is either too salty to drink, or, like we said, too polluted to even be able to save it. And according to the Professor Benjamin Savakul, there will be no water by 2040 if we keep doing what we're doing today. It costs a lot of money for the fast fashion that you all love. I don't think you need the next whatever that's coming out. The numbers that I'm reading right now are so long, I'm so big, I can't even read it, of how many people are literally without water as we speak. Obviously, it's none of our personal fault. Like, I mean, we were born into this world, right? But in technicality, if we know this, right? If we know this, why don't we do better? And that's where I stand on this. Like, if we know better, do better. Right now, what can you do to change your life for the next 17 years? If you have nieces right now, or children that are already born, being born, they wouldn't have that much longer in this life if we don't.
From space, our planet appears to be more ocean than Earth. But despite the water covering 71% of the planet's surface, more than half the world's population endures extreme water scarcity for at least 1 month a year. And current estimates predict that by 2040, up to 20 more countries could be experiencing water shortages. Taken together, these bleak statistics raise a startling question. Are we running out of clean water? Well, yes and no. At a planetary scale, Earth can't run out of fresh water, thanks to the water cycle, a system that continuously produces and recycles water, morphing it from vapor to liquid to ice as it circulates around the globe. So this isn't really a question of how much water there is, but of how much of it is accessible to us. 97% of Earth's liquid is salt water, too loaded with minerals for humans to drink or use in agriculture. Of the remaining 3% of potentially usable fresh water, more than two-thirds is frozen in ice caps and glaciers. That leaves less than 1% available for sustaining all life on Earth, spread across our planet in rivers, lakes, underground aquifers, ground ice, and permafrost. It's these sources of water that are being rapidly depleted by humans, but slowly replenished by rain and snowfall. And this limited supply isn't distributed evenly around the globe. Diverse climates and geography provide some regions with more rainfall and natural water sources, while other areas have geographic features that make transporting water much more difficult. And supplying the infrastructure and energy it would take to move water across these regions is extremely expensive. In many of these water-poor areas, as well as some with greater access to water, humanity is guzzling up the local water supply faster than it can be replenished. And when more quickly renewed sources can't meet the demand, we start pumping it out of our finite underground reserves. Of Earth's 37 major underground reservoirs, 21 are on track to be irreversibly emptied. So while it's true that our planet isn't actually losing water, we are depleting the water sources we rely on at an unsustainable pace. This might seem surprising. After all, on average, people only drink about 2 liters of water a day. But water plays a hidden role in our daily lives, and in that same 24 hours, most people will actually consume an estimated 3,000 liters of water. In fact, household water, which we use to drink, cook, and clean, accounts for only 3.6% of humanity's water consumption. Another 4.4% goes to the wide range of factories which make the products we buy each day. But the remaining 92% of our water consumption is all spent on a single industry, agriculture. Our farms drain the equivalent of 3.3 billion Olympic-sized swimming pools every year. All of it swallowed up by crops and livestock to feed Earth's growing population. Agriculture currently covers 37% of Earth's land area, posing the biggest threat to our regional water supplies. And yet, it's also a necessity. So how do we limit agriculture's thirst while still feeding those who rely on it? Farmers are already finding ingenious ways to reduce their impact, like using special irrigation techniques to grow more crop per drop and breeding new crops that are less thirsty. Other industries are following suit, adopting production processes that reuse and recycle water. On a personal level, reducing food waste is the first step to reducing water use, since one-third of the food that leaves farms is currently wasted or thrown away. You might also want to consider eating less water-intensive foods, like shelled nuts and red meat. Adopting a vegetarian lifestyle could reduce up to one-third of your water footprint. Our planet may never run out of water, but it doesn't have to for individuals to go thirsty. Solving this local problem requires a global solution, and small day-to-day decisions can affect reservoirs around the world.
We don't have fresh water, but what can we do as a society to change this? I just feel robbed because of other people's selfishness, and obviously we are a part of the problem. That's obviously including myself. We are a part of the problem. But when you try your best to change your daily life, obviously choose the best of two evils. What's better, to buy cotton or, I don't know, latex? Like, what kind of products can you buy? But we know for a fact that reducing your meat consumption will reduce, you know, the water waste, and will help the future. I chose this episode on purpose because it was nagging at me for a while. And I was like, you know what? We need to talk about it. And here I am. it just sucks. Lack of a better term is literally just sucks that we are living the now, but if we don't have, they say live the now, blah, 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 blah. But how can I live the now if I know that I might not have a future to look forward to? We need to fix our now in order to have a future. So whatever we do today will affect us. So I'm hoping that we all consciously come together and realize that we are the problem. And we've always said that human beings are the problem. I'm not trying to make this episode a negative one or just trying to be like, oh, screw the human race. No, it's just that as much as I love everyone that's here and that I'm grateful that, you know, there's a community and et cetera, what can we all do? If you're watching this episode, what can you do right now in your home that you could reduce your water, your waste? Because we need fresh water in order to survive, right? What did they say? That you could go a week without eating, but you can't go without a couple of, 3 days tops of without drinking water, I guess. Don't quote me on this. Obviously, I didn't search on that. But Fearless Fam, my point to this topic was to please be conscious of how you're using your water in your home and what you are contributing to, what you're buying. Because again, everything takes water to make. And I want us to have a future to look forward to. I want us to be 80 years old and saying we lived our life instead of having to struggle to even, how are we going to live, right? Being in our 50s and having to say, holy shit, we have no water. Again, we're talking about fresh water. There is water in the planet, but most of it is literally not drinkable. We can't drink it. We can't survive off of that. You know how many people have died for drinking polluted, dirty, contaminated water? Way too many. I leave you with this. If you could take it with you to the next year to start. It's not even a New Year's resolution, just a life-changing way. I just want to say thank you all for watching this episode. If you have more information or if you have your own goals or ways that you save water, please leave your comments below. Send me a DM. Just let us know how you reduce water and just let us know. And please remember, we're taking a three weeks vacation. We won't be here into the 9th. So don't get too alarmed if you don't see 2 more episodes after this. Thank you so much for watching, and I appreciate you all. And like I always say, stay fearless, everyone.